Our first reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. That he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. That he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. Most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. O Lord, have mercy on us. Gospel reading is from the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. We begin reading at verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. You believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here, is calling for you. When she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened his eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. And I say this on account of the people standing around. They may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your gospel lesson, but a review of certain elements of it. You might recall from last week that when Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was ill, rather than departing right away, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then he received word that Lazarus had died. When he finally gets there, Martha meets him. Her first words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mary then goes out to meet him. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then the crowds observing all that has taken place speak out, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" This is our text. We were created to be in the image of God. There's a lot of things that means. But one of the things that it tells us about how we originally were is that we were originally holy, just, righteous, all the time. Or let me say it more simply. When we were first made, we were right all the time. Now, through the years, I've met some people who think that about themselves. But they're wrong. And yet, even though we all recognize that there's a lot of times we're wrong, I think it's a legacy of the fact that we were originally created in God's image. Even though we are probably wrong more than we are right, we don't like it. The question is, what do you do about it? That's another one of the problems of our humanity. That is what we do try to do. To make ourselves look right, even though we're wrong. Even though we're full of sin. Ever told a lie? Why'd you do that? You were wrong. You didn't like it. You tried to find a way to make your wrong look right. And if we can't make ourselves look right, even by lies, there's something in us that doesn't want the other person to be able to say, look, I was right and you are wrong. So we'll try to make the other person look wrong as well. It starts out when we're little children. Na, 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 na. You know that? I may have not been right, but you weren't right either. And we somehow take pride in that. I told you so. How many of you have ever said, I told you so, in a gloating way? Now, you may not have been right, but that's not the point. The fact that they were wrong, that's what makes you feel good. Where's the love in that? Here's the problem with wanting to be right or wrong far too often. When we are wrong, there's nothing we can do to make our wrongs right. In our gospel lesson for today, it looked like Jesus was wrong. It's somewhat of a recurring theme. They knew when Mary and Martha had sent word to Jesus. And though the text of the Gospel of John seems to make it fairly clear, it was part of Jesus' plan from the very beginning not to respond right away. It seemed he wanted to wait to go and see Lazarus until after he had died. How could that be right? And when Lazarus did die, how could Jesus possibly make that up to the people he loved, Mary and Martha? Lord, if you had gotten here, if you'd come when we called you, he wouldn't have died. Almost in a gloating sort of way. Oh, yeah, this Jesus, this important guy, yeah, he can heal blind people, so they say. And it's apparent, look, he's crying. He really loved this family. And why didn't he get here? He could have stopped all this. To the world, Jesus looked all wrong. But unlike us, Jesus is never wrong. And even when the whole world thinks that he is, he can make what the world thinks is wrong ultimately look right. He goes to the grave of Lazarus. He asks the stone to be removed. Why, Jesus? He's stinking already. He bids Lazarus to come out. And then the whole world knew. that there's something right about Jesus. Right in a way that no other man can make right. He proves his love and proves his power over life and death as Lazarus comes forth. The power of God is that he can take wrong and make it right. That's what we see in the cross. When we were reading our epistle lesson, that's what Paul said is of first importance in terms of understanding the gospel. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. We are all wrong, and there's nothing we can do about it. We can try to cover up with lies. We can try to make others look bad. We can make other people suffer being right when we're wrong. That fixes nothing. It only brings pain and suffering into our world. You know, I think in terms of the problems our world is experiencing right now with war over in the Ukraine region has something to do with people being wrong but not willing to recognize it. Pundits aren't always right, but at least in their analysis of what might be going on over there today, I think they probably have it somewhat correct. Say that Putin probably didn't expect a lot of resistance from the Ukrainians. He probably didn't expect the world to unify in its opposition to what they are doing, to impose the kind of sanctions that they're imposing on the Russian people. With the length that this war is taking, what we're hearing now is that Ukraine, which is kind of a breadbasket for the Russian people and Ukrainian people, the harvest might not occur. There could be widespread famine and starvation, not just for the Ukrainian people, but for the Russian people as well. Maybe if he had to do it all over again and knew what he knows now, he might not have decided to invade. But this war might very well drag on and on. And all kinds of people suffer because someone doesn't want to admit they were wrong. Who knows, it could come to nuclear war. We don't want that. We don't wish for that. But what's driving all that? It's the same thing that drives us often as well. To try to make ourselves right, even when we know we're wrong. There is nothing we can do to right our wrongs. We have not the power. But thanks be to God for in the person of Jesus Christ, we have a Savior who took our sins away from us when he died on the cross, gave to us his righteousness, so that that perfect righteousness, that being right all the time, might be ours. Not based on what we do, but based on the free gift God has given us in Jesus. It makes all the lies unnecessary. All the na-na-na-na-na-nas. All the gloating over others. And sometimes the effort we expend not to prove ourselves right, but to make sure that the other guy isn't right either. No, we can't make ourselves right. God has that power. Even when the whole world, even those who loved him, thought he was wrong, he proved himself able to make things right through the power that he has even over life and death itself. In his death and his resurrection, he made all who trust in him right again. God grant that as we live out our lives on this earth, that it be his righteousness that we glory in, his righteousness, share with others. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.